Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. And with me tonight, as always, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight. And remember that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you have any questions or comments about our radio program this evening, we encourage you to call us at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. And we'd also encourage you to check out our webpage, Ryan Smithy, who preaches for the 4th and Stewart Congregation in Brownwood, is our webmaster. He puts together a good webpage for us with all of our past episodes archived. And also, if you're in a far distance away, you can also live stream the radio program at www.harrisonmoore.org. Now, we want you to realize that this, our motto is and will always be, you've heard what men have had to say, but now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And so that's going to be what we're talking about, the Bible's view on any topic that we're looking at tonight or in the future. But before we get into our program, I want to remind you that at Hillcrest, tonight and tomorrow night and also Wednesday night, they're having a gospel meeting with Carl McCann, a very outstanding gospel preacher from Fruitvale, that's out there on the east side of 35.
On the other side of the Jordan.
Yeah, and he's a very outstanding preacher, and I know you want to come and hear him. It begins at 7 o'clock each evening, tonight, tomorrow night, and also Wednesday. And so if you're in the area or if you just want to drive over, be sure and come and be a part of that gospel effort. You know, David, the topic that we're going to be looking at today is one that's, as I was studying up on it and reading about it today, it made me sick to my stomach. It's something that's very disheartening, something that made me very angry, made me sad to consider how far the American people, many of them, are going. Really down the gutter with what they're doing. And David is going to introduce our topic tonight by looking at an Old Testament story. Now remember, the Bible tells us that, and history tells us that if we don't learn from history, that we're doomed to repeat the same mistakes. David is going to be looking at a passage in the book of Judges. You might want to be turning over in your Bibles to the book of Judges, Judges 19 and Judges chapter 20. And he's going to be giving us information about an incident that took place that well describes what might take place with us if we're not careful. David, tell us about that story.
Well, we should learn from history, and the greatest place in the world to go to history is the history of the Bible. The Bible tells us the good stuff, and it tells us also the stuff that is bad and evil and repulsive to God. And mm-hmm. This is one of those stories that God does not like. Nevertheless, it's put here, and it's put here for a purpose. It's put here for our learning. We read in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So we see this story here, it is a very unpleasant story even to talk about, and it begins in chapter 19 with a Levite. That would be one of God's people from a priestly tribe And this all has to do with God's people, a people that God brought out of Egypt with Moses, a people that were taught God's law, a people that lived a lawful life for a good long while. But when we get to the book of Judges, we see the world getting into God's people. And that's what we have here. The Levite had a concubine. Now, this concubine and this Levite were traveling through the country, and they came to the area that is known as the Benjamin area. It was the tribe of Benjamin. It was their area there. And the Levite was passing through, and the concubine, and they had to sleep on the streets. Well, this man there took them in. He said, "You can't sleep on the streets around here. Evil is out there." So he took them in, and these individuals, these men, they were sodomites there that found out that this passerby was coming through, and they took his concubine. They violated her all night long, and they let her go, and she came back up to the door, and she died there. Now, in order to get the attention of the rest of the tribes of God's people, this man took this dead corpse, and he divided her up into 12 pieces and sent her body parts to all of the tribes of Israel. And this was a reproachful and a disgraceful thing, but it got their attention. And they all came together. In chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, "And the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all of the tribes of Benjamin, saying, 'What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now, therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put the evil from Israel.' But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel." Now, what they did, Tom, is all of these tribes of Israel, all of God's people, went to the tribe of Benjamin and said, "Give us the men that did this horrifying thing, and let us put this man, or these men, let us put them to death and get this evil out of Israel." But all of the leadership of Benjamin stood behind the evildoers. They would not give them up. They stood behind them, and they decided that they were going to defend them. Well, and when we get to verse number 26, we see this happening. "Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up, and they came into the house of God. And they wept, and they sat there before the Lord, and they fasted that day until the evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, 'Shall I yet again go out and battle against the children of Benjamin, my brothers, or shall I cease?' And the Lord said, 'Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand.'" Now, God was pretty upset about this event that took place there. And he says, "I will deliver these evildoers into your hand." Makes no difference that the rest of Benjamin is going to stand behind them or not. And the next day, 25,000 men lost their lives trying to defend the evildoers, and only 600 people were left. 600 fighting men of all of the tribe of Benjamin were there. Now, this is what God does with evildoers. And it is amazing, Tom, how could this happen in a country there, a country that was full of God's people? How could it happen that they would be so evil and then have the leadership of that tribe stand behind them and protect them and fight for them for their evil rights? How could this happen to a country of God's people?
Well, anytime you get away from God, that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, Benjamin was a people, like you say, who were God's people. They came into the promised land. They received all these blessings of God. But when they started straying away from God, evil just corrupted them more and more, and to a point to where they were even now protecting evil. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and I know that as we continue with this, there's going to be some things that you want to talk about on this program. The number is 254-445-2473. And I think the point that we want to bring into focus here right now is, as in the Old Testament, when evildoers were producing that very evil, there were people who were trying to hide that evil. who are trying not to, just not doing what God says on things. Today, David, we have a very horrible evil that's taking place. And as a result of that horrible evil that's taking place, well, evil's abounding. And there are people now who are trying to hide the very evil that's taking place under our noses. And they're using what they believe to be the benefit of other people to produce evil. Well, David, what's going on right now that we need to talk about tonight?
Well, when we uncovered this, we actually subscribed to several news organizations that are not your mainstream media, and these news organizations will report things that the mainstream media will not.
Let that actually be a lesson to us.
Yes, it should be. Actually, this was uncovered by mistake on ABC's 2020 a couple of weeks ago, I do believe, and it was an interview that really shocked a bunch of people. And this interview was an interview that was conducted about a former abortion clinic technician whose name was Dean Alberti. Now, I don't know whether Dean is a female or a male, but whoever it is, they were a former abortion clinic technician. After what they saw, whoever this Dean Alberti is, they decided they were not going to be another technician. The clinics were harvesting, now get this, folks, they were harvesting eyes, brains, hearts, limbs, torsos, and other body parts for sale to the scientific market. Laboratories wanting to test new drugs or procedures, or researchers trying to find the cause of genetic disorders or discover new ways of treating disorders like Parkinson's. And to make it doubly embarrassing for authorities, Tom, the trafficking was taking place inside abortion clinics that were run by Planned Parenthood, the United States affiliate of the New Zealand's Family Planning Organization. And so Planned Parenthood just rears up her ugly head over and over and over. Now, before we get any further, this is how it relates to this biblical story here. What we have here is evil in abundance. What we have here, and as we go through this, the you listening audience out there, you're going to be appalled at what you hear that is going on right here in supposedly a country full of God's people right here, and then we have other people trying to protect it, then we have other people trying to hide it, and we have other people that are just shrugging their shoulders and saying, what can we do?
Are trying to make big money over the whole situation. People are going to say, well, I thought this was illegal. Well, my friends, it is, but the problem is they found a loophole, and we're going to talk about that loophole in a little while. But right now, I want to... How do you say it? I want to make you angry. I want to get you upset. I want you to realize what is going on out there, and it's time for us as God's people to stand up and know what's going on. This Alberti that was the technician in these abortions who were collecting the various parts of a child. Now, they keep calling these embryos, or not embryos, but fetuses and things of that nature. But, you know, they're children.
Mm-hmm.
They're little babies. And Alberti told of seeing babies wounded but alive after the abortion procedures. And in one case, a set of twins still moving on the table. When clinicians from AGF, the Atomic Gift Foundation, began to dissect the children to harvest their organs, the children, he said, were cuddling each other and grasping for breath when the medics moved in for the kill.
Now, this same Alberti tells us that these researchers want these babies just as fresh and the most perfect specimens that they can get their hands on to get the best value and the best money for the baby that was the most perfect and the most mature.
Yeah, so the older the child, the better it is, the better product it is for those researchers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, in America, late-term abortions are permitted even up to 30 weeks gestation. It is a three-day procedure and involves forcing the mother to go in to labor but killing the baby with a spike to the base of the skull before it leaves the canal birth. Even so, according to Alberti, that's a clinician, it wasn't unusual out of the 30 or 40 late-term abortions each week to see several babies born alive on the operating table before they could perform the procedure.
Now, Tom, if you just got through saying late-term abortions are permitted even up to 30 weeks gestation, that might not mean a lot to a lot of people. But if my math is right, 36 to 38 weeks is a full-term baby. So we're talking 4 to 5 weeks, 6 weeks max before the baby is born, then they can go ahead and take this baby, rob him from the womb, strip him from the womb, and take his little life and sell him for body parts. That's what we're talking about here, right here in this United States of America.
And it's going on right under our noses. Now, again, this is a live call-in talk show. And we want you to call in at 254-445-2473 because we want to talk about this horrible thing that's going on in our day. But one thing before we want to, I want to mention one other thing about this late birth before we talk about some of the Bible reasons why these things are wrong. She was telling, or he was telling, about one incident in particular that haunted him. The clinic had begun inducing a woman of 26 weeks pregnant, but sent her overnight to a nearby motel to await the full procedure in the morning. Instead, in the middle of the night, she gave birth to a child and was brought back to the abortion clinic with the baby wrapped in a towel.
Already out of the womb.
Right. It says, I was in the scrub room when I saw the towel move, says Herrera. And the nurse said, Eric, you're just tired. It's 3 a.m. Then we both looked, and a little baby's arm raised up out of the towel and was moving like a newborn baby. I screamed and ran out. The doctor came in and closed the door, and when we went back in the process, the baby was out of the clinic into the lab. The baby had a puncture wound in its chest. It would be one thing if these were isolated incidences. But what we have here now is people are going further and further and further away from where they started. No, it used to be, it had to be an early process, didn't it, David?
Well, yeah. Now, when you're talking about this woman that's 26 weeks, she's 7 months pregnant.
Yeah.
The one at 30 weeks, which is still legal in this United States of America, is 8 months pregnant. These are viable babies that are being aborted to be sold for their body parts. Now, folks, if you can get a hold of this, back in 1973, we sat on our hands as God's children and were told and convinced by the public or by our leadership that abortion was just another form of birth control. And we sat right flat on our seats and did absolutely nothing about Roe versus Wade passing. And since then, we have killed nearly 60 million babies, just like the babies that we've been talking about right here. 60 million of them in the United States of America, and we have done it legally, but not righteously.
You know, when the child is only a few months old or a few weeks old, there was always that big debate as to whether or not it was a child or just a piece of the mother's flesh. But how can anybody in their right mind say that when that child is still 7 months old in the mother's womb, that it's not a child? You see how far we've gone back when it was before, you know, when it was little bitty and the size of your hand or smaller than your hand. They didn't have much trouble calling that a fetus and not a person. But now we've gone so far that we are able to, well, didn't a couple of weeks ago we talk about if a child is not able to live on its own, to think for itself, that it's still not really a person?
Now, that's what these wise men from Columbia University had to say.
Okay, so now we've got babies coming out, being born, killed, and now are taking their body parts and being sold for what we're told, the common good of mankind. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. But before we go any further, David, let's prove from the scriptures that what we're saying, these things are wrong and evil.
Well, anybody can turn to Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, and they can read there that there are seven things that God hates. And among those seven things that God hates is hands that shed innocent blood. Tom, there is no more innocent blood in this world than a child.
And it's happening everywhere around us. And people aren't speaking up against it like they ought to. Me included, I need to get more involved in this kind of thing because it's wrong. It's evil. And we're going to see in a little bit, it's not anything different than what the Nazis were doing to Jews back how long ago? A long time ago. And these things are going on, and we need to put a stop to it. And not only that, the psalmist says, proving that the child in the mother's womb is really a living human being. The psalmist says in Psalm 139 and verse 15, it says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made or when I was at conception and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." Here is talking about the fetus, the child within there, and it was something that was made known. God knew that them as a person even in the womb of a mother. Now, it's just wrong.
Well, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, the words of God says, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." Before you were born, before God formed him in the belly, teaching us about the sanctity of life and the innocence of a child.
Exactly.
What we have here, Tom, is we have what we call and what we love to call ourselves a Christian nation, a nation of God's people, a nation of godly principles, a nation of Christian principles, and yet we have something that is more vile going on right now than the Nazi encampments had going on in Auschwitz 50, 60 years ago. When they were killing and doing experiments with babies and unborn children, when they were doing that in those Nazi concentration camps, it was abhorrent, and people hated to hear it. People hated to see it. And yet, what we have going on here is just as vile, just as gruesome, just as reprehensive as anything that was done under Adolf Hitler.
Exactly.
And we are doing this in the name of science and the name of research, just like he was.
But you know, in reality, David, they talk a lot about science and the good of mankind and all this. But I think as we've looked through some of these things, we've realized a lot of it simply has to do with money.
Oh, there's no doubt. No doubt. And we'll get into that. We'll get into that money in just a moment.
Let me mention one other thing.
Okay.
I just got a text from my wife, and we have her sister, her twins. She had twins, and they were born at 24 weeks old.
24 weeks, and I remember, kill them at 30.
I remember a picture of them, and they laid aside a dollar bill, and now they're healthy 14-year-olds. You see, what are we doing? People aren't stopping to think. All they're thinking about is trying to rid their life of some mistake they've made. And now it's going to get to a point, David, where people are more concerned about the dollar and more concerned about mankind, and they're willing to sacrifice these little innocent babies instead of looking for ways other than that to try to heal the human diseases that we have.
Well, you know, God sent his prophet Amos to warn the people about some of the atrocious things that they were doing about 760 years before Jesus Christ was ever born. And in Amos chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon," these are the descendants of Lot, "and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border." Again, it was for money.
Exactly right.
That they might enlarge their border. Get rid of the kids, get rid of the pregnant woman, so that they can enlarge their border. This is nothing new. However, it is no less atrocious today than it was in that 765 B.C. when that was written by the inspiration of God.
Exactly. And let's look at one other passage to prove our point biblically that these fetuses are not just a piece of flesh, but they are actually children,
mm-hmm.
babes. When you look in your Bibles in Luke chapter 1, in verse 41, we have this. It says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary," now notice, "the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Now I want you to focus in on that word babe.
And by the way, that babe was just 24 weeks old.
Yeah. And he called, and the Greek word is brephos. And what's interesting, that word babe is the very same word that's used, that same Greek word is used over in Luke chapter 2 and verse 12, where there it says, "And it shall be a sign, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger."
The babe in the womb and the babe out of the womb. It's the same babe.
Same babe, and that's what inspiration says.
Right.
So we live in a very sad time, don't we, David?
Well, when we get back to this article that was written by Investigate Daily, this article is interviewing this man, Eric Hara. He gave this live video interview, and he was disclosing the live births as the abortion industry's dirty secret. They are trying to abort these babies, and the babies are trying to live, and they're killing them. And one of the things that he said, he says they're coming out alive, and the doctor would either break their neck or take a pair of tongs and basically beat the fetus until he was dead. I cannot, in my wildest dreams, imagine an educated man in a civilized society thinking that this is what civilization is all about.
That just shows how far away the world, America, is getting away from God, to where they'd just be willing to kill a child. And really, again, David, it's all about money. And as we're going to see here, you know, we say again, this is illegal. This can't be happening in the United States of America. But what we're going to notice in just a moment, we'll talk about this on the other side of the break in just a moment, there is a big loophole in this whole thing. And what we need to realize is that the aborted babies are being chopped up and sold to researchers all over America with the full approval of the Obama administration. Did you know that these aborted babies are being chopped up and sold to medical researchers all over America? And we're allowing it to happen. Obama administration and other administrations have done the same thing, because it's not really new. It's going on for a while, but we're just now hearing about it. And we need to realize that all of this is occurring because of a giant loophole. And we're going to talk about this loophole on the other side of the break.
Blessed assurance.
Do not let the memories of your defeats discourage you. Those defeats happened yesterday. Those mistakes, blunders, follies, the things that shame you and fill you with remorse, they are part of a day that is gone. Today is a new day. God has given you a new 24 hours. The best way to put the horrors of yesterday behind us is to fill today with a new and a better effort. Put your trust in God and walk in the old paths. Jeremiah tells us about them in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and good things will happen. Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, let us focus on the future. I'm David Harris, preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible class begin at 9:30, worship at 10:30, midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Make plans now to attend.
Brethren, we have met to worship.
Friends, this message is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We do not claim to be a perfect church, but we strive to be a church sound in doctrine, active in good works, and united in the bond of peace. At Park Heights, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Therefore, we insist upon Bible authority for everything that we teach and practice. We believe that we ought to teach what people were taught in the first century, believe what they were taught to believe, and do what they were taught to do. At Park Heights, we will never intentionally do or say anything that would make you feel uncomfortable. We will not ask you to believe anything unless we can give you Bible authority for it. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come to our worship service with us each Sunday. We have Bible study Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Our worship times begin each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and here with my good friend and partner Tom Moore on this radio program. This is a live call-in radio show. The number to call is 254-445-2473. We have run onto some information we think is worthy of exposing. As some of this is quite gruesome. But I think that we need to know about it, and one of the reasons I think that we need to know about it, Tom thinks we need to know about it, is because we are doing nothing about it if we don't know something about it. Ignorance is a terrible thing, and we have been kept in the dark here over what has been going on in this country. And what we're talking about is taking the aborted babies and selling their body parts for profit. And that has been going on in this country. It's a $2 billion a year business for one company is making $2 billion a year over this. Just one company. And you might think that this is not legal. It is illegal. We have laws against this kind of thing. And yes, we do. But we also have loopholes in lawyers in this country. And they are trying to get around this. They're not trying it. They're doing what they can to get around it. Exactly. But what we consistently need to point out is this, and for the last four or five shows, we have talked about this, Tom. When we get away from the founding principles that founded this country, and that would be principles based upon God's will, principles based upon God's word. That's what this country was founded upon. When we get away from God's word, when we get away from God's will, there is no end to where you can go with this kind of a thing.
And we're seeing that happen right before our very eyes, aren't we?
Yes, it has gone. You know, used to we talked about just abortion. Now we're talking about going even beyond abortion, talking about killing babies that are fully alive out of the womb, that are fully viable in the womb. The most dangerous place for a child to be in America is in the womb of his mother.
You know, and there's a lot more fuss and fight about the animal rights, it seems, nowadays than there are about the unborn children.
Save the
condor, save the whales, save the salamander in Austin, you know, save all these things, but let's kill the babies. Where have we gone with all this?
We are away, completely removed from the Word of God, and that is what is happening here. We started this program out by talking about the evil that transpired in that tribe of Benjamin and what God did to those people for it. They were punished. They were nearly annihilated because of what they did, and not only just because of what they did, but because the leadership of that tribe refused to turn over the evildoers, and instead they decided to protect them, to protect the evil and their evil rights to do whatever evil that they wanted to do. Now, when we look at passages in our New Testament, we're told about these kinds of things. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, for instance, we are told to not fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There cannot be any more unfruitful work of darkness than what we are talking about here, the killing and the maiming of innocent young children to sell their body parts for money. We have another passage in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. Are you there, Tom?
Yeah, there it says in Romans 1 verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they might commit such things, are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's what we see taking a place in our very day. Not just doing it themselves, but wanting to benefit from what others are doing that it's wrong. You know, that's one of the big problems here, David, is that, you know, as long as I'm not doing it myself, we don't care too much about it. But whenever I'm going to benefit from it and others are doing it and it's still wrong, you know, we're still enjoying the benefit of the wrongdoing. And we need to take a closer look at that. You know, people are going to say, David, this is wrong to sell parts. Well, you know, there is a federal law which is supposed to ban this practice, but it contains a gigantic loophole that abortion clinics are using to sell huge amounts of aborted babies to the scientific community. The loophole in the federal law allows this, and I quote, reasonable payments associated with the transportation, implantation, processing, preservation, quality control, and storage of human fetal tissue. The problem is, David, there is no guideline as to what those reasonable payments are or should be. And the Obama administration is not about to start prosecuting the abortion clinics now, are they?
No. As a matter of fact, they have defended them in the same way that the leadership of Benjamin defended the evildoers there. The universities, and by the way, there are several universities that are doing this. In this United States of America, the universities and the researchers pay a fee. And they say that the fee is not for the parts themselves, but for the cost of the extraction that will include the transportation of the body parts. Now, there are different fees depending on the amount of work involved, and the shipping and the handling is extra. And the harvesting of the fetal tissue or the baby tissue, what they're saying, is not yet illegal in the United States of America. It's not illegal, Tom. The harvest, we are supposed to be a nation, one nation under God. That's our pledge, the Pledge of Allegiance. We say the pledge. We are one nation under God. What does that mean?
Well, it should be that we're under His authority doing things God's way, but we're very quickly going away from that, aren't we?
Absolutely. There is no way that we can claim and say the Pledge of Allegiance that says that we are one nation under God and harvest baby parts for sale. There is no way that we can claim that.
You know, and just to bring this home a little bit, now we wanted to give you a conclusion or what we can do about this. We draw to a conclusion, but I want to kind of bring this into your mind as to what we're talking about, the number that we're talking about. For a start, the death toll along from abortions far eclipses anything Hitler was able to achieve. You know, we talk about how horrible and how evil Hitler was and all that he killed. In fact, one estimate of the abortion tally in the West is the past 30 years. In the past 30 years, there have been 58 million lives that have been lost to abortion. Now, once you kick in the figures for the rest of the world, including China, more people have been killed by abortion in the past 30 years than in all wars in created history. For the record, international studies, like a 1998 paper from the International Family Planning Perspective, suggest that there are 46 million lives taken through abortion every year throughout the world. David, that's what we're talking about. The deaths of 46 million children every year by abortion, and all of them, but many of them especially morbid, crushing them with tongs, spiking their neck, breaking them into pieces still alive. What have we come to?
Well, we have totally disregarded God's will and God's word. Now, the University of Auckland in New Zealand, they are buying a lot of these body parts, an awful lot of these body parts that have been harvested over here in the United States, and New Zealand is paying for these things, and they say their clinical or their ethical chancellor and research man says that this is ethical under the current New Zealand law to harvest organs from fetuses. Now, listen to this. For the sake of improving lives of adults. So, if you're an adult, you can buy a baby body part that has been killed so that you can be better through the death of the infant.
We've sunk low, hadn't we?
Boy.
I believe we have a caller on the line. A caller, if you'll give us your name and comment, we sure would appreciate it.
I'm Connie.
Uh-huh, Connie.
And, hi. I just wanted to say, you know, the country went to war against Hitler because of things like this, and here we are practicing them. Mm-hmm. Actually, worse than what Hitler did. And, you know, to me, we have become the monsters we pursue.
You know, that is a good point.
That is an excellent point. I do not believe, and we have some more documentation of this, I do not believe that Hitler was as vile as what we are being right now, and he didn't do it for money.
Amen. Amen.
Very good point, Connie. Very good point. We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, here's one thing I found very interesting, that there was a Dr. Jones, and he's trying to get something set up in Mexico, and its market force. Dr. Jones told a producer about his set prices about these various parts, and he said that we can sell, in asking what we can sell it for, and what he was trying to do is that we said, I can control the flow of these abortions taking place and will be equivalent to the invention of an assembly line of aborted baby parts for the sale. You know, and David, we have a list of prices.
Yes, an absolute price list for body parts in U.S. dollars.
You know, and what's sad about that is that tells us that this is a money-making thing.
Sure.
It's not just reimbursement. As a matter of fact, one of these, and I've lost the name of the company that's involved in this, they are said to be a $2 billion company.
Mm-hmm.
David, that's more than reimbursement.
Sure it is. And if you'll remember a while ago, we said the loophole says that the way they get around this is they do not charge for the body parts. They charge the extraction fee and the shipping fee. And yet we have the document that shows us that there is a price list for body parts. And we won't go into a whole lot of detail on this, but just to give you an idea, a 12-week-old baby's skin is worth $100. The lungs and the heart, $150. The cadaver, the 8-week-old cadaver is worth $400. If he's the intact embryonic cadaver, it's $600. If you have the cord blood, it's $125. The liver, 8 weeks old, 30% discount if significantly fragmented, $150 livers. This is like a grocery store price list for what people are trying to buy. Here's one of the kickers, and this kind of goes along with what Connie said. When the ethicist person speaking up for the New Zealand, the Auckland University, was asked, isn't this a whole lot like what the Nazis did? And she said, oh, no, not at all. We treat the cadavers and the tissue with respect of humanity. And then they went on to say, we even have a memorial service for this human tissue once a year. And you talk about the height of hypocrisy. Exactly. First, on one hand, they say, this is not a human being. And on the next hand, they say, well, we have a memorial service for these little human beings that aren't human beings.
The height of hypocrisy. I believe we have another caller on the line. Caller, if you give us your name and comment, we sure would appreciate it.
Tom, Dave, this is Barry.
Yeah, Barry.
A couple of comments. First off, as you know, this whole topic is real close to my heart because two of my grandsons were premature, and yet you wouldn't know that today if you saw either one of them. They're robust young men and going 100 miles an hour and can wear an old granddaddy out.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, we can talk about everything that the government is doing. We can look at our elected representatives, if they're voting for that, we can encourage others not to vote. But this is simply still a symptom of a much bigger problem. And that's that we, as a nation, no longer believe that God meant what he said.
Mm-hmm.
When he gave the rules for how life was to be run and how that men were to conduct themselves and where fathers were supposed to be in charge of their families, where marriage was the place where the bed was to be kept pure, and that premarital sex was wrong, period. We have been raising generations since the 60s that believe that, you know what, God really doesn't matter. As long as you just feel good about what you're doing, God's happy with you. And until we as individuals to begin with start standing up for the truth and really looking at what is the truth, not just in what it says about adultery and fornication, not just what it says about murder, but in how it talks about how you are to submit to God and doing his will. We can talk all day long about the errors of abortion and how hideous it is.
You know exactly
the
right.
The only thing is, people that, you know, up front, like the people that agree with you, they're going to say, you're right, and the others are going to say, well, you know, they're just people that are way out there. But we no longer fear God, and we don't want to keep his commandments. We won't tell God what we want, and he has to like it. I'd like to hang up and hear you comment on that if you'd like to.
You know, Barry, I thank you for the comment, and you're exactly right. And one of the things that we've noticed about looking through all this is that a lot of these people who are involved in the exchange of these baby body parts, they're thinking it's all right because they say that the ethics committee gave them the authority to do it, and they forgot about the ultimate ethic committee, which is Jehovah God. Now, we're getting really close to the end of this program, and we don't want to leave this program without giving you an answer to what we're talking. We could talk a lot more about this. I might want to just mention very quickly that Pepsi-Cola, the company Pepsi-Cola, they are funding a research that is done by people who are trying to say to have better tasting food and better tasting drinks and lower calories. They are using research that is done by these researchers using fetal material and researching and saying, well, we're doing that because we want a better tasting product. Things like Lipton tea, Pepsi Cola, dentine chewing gum, there's a long list of these things. Any Nestle product, there's not fetal material in the products, but what they're doing is that they are paying $30 million for this process to take place using these products of these babies to try to come up with a better tasting product. And why is it? It's all for money.
All about the money.
Well, David, in the short time we have left, what can we do about this?
Well, one of the things that we can do has a lot to do with what Barry was talking about just a moment ago. We've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to have a supreme authority. We can't rely on a bunch of men and a bunch of women say this is ethical and that's not ethical, this is right and that's not right. We've already been through that. For the last 50 years, we have been told by psychiatrists, psychologists, and the wise men of the world and the wise men of our universities saying this is right and that is wrong and the Bible doesn't count. We've got to get back to the Bible. And we just keep bringing this passage up over and over and over again as far as the United States of America goes. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. There is absolutely no doubt that abortion is sin. There is absolutely no doubt that taking it even a step further and killing these babies outside of the womb, this infanticide for money, is even more reproachful than that.
Exactly.
But the righteousness, now if we want the righteousness, there is only one way to get back to it, and that is to get back to the Bible. In Psalm 119 and verse number 172, we are told there, all thy commandments are righteousness. And in until we get back to the Word of God, until we stop listening to the television telling us that fornication and adultery and drunkenness and every other sin that you can imagine, it doesn't matter, we will just continue to grow on, and there will be no limit to the evil that we can bring upon ourselves.
Exactly. You know, and Solomon also said in Proverbs of chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. I guess that would be their ethics committees.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We need to get back to God's Word, and as you mentioned, as Barry mentioned a moment ago, that is the first key in all of this. But in doing this, we also need to learn from the warnings that God gives, the warning that God gave to Edom.
Mm-hmm.
When he was looking at all that was taking place in the book of Obadiah, in Obadiah chapter 1, it says, beginning in verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob. How much violence is going on in the world today with this abortion? With thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. Here God says to the Edomites, you sit over there and you watched all this happen and you did nothing about it. And he says, it's like you are one of them. David, if we sit back and we watch all these things happen, all the killing of these innocent children, and we do nothing about it, in like manner, we are as one of them. We need to do what we can do. We've got to go back to God's Word. We're going to have to do something about it. But there's something else we can do, David. What is that?
Well, and before we leave Obadiah, he mm-hmm. says there, the warning, he says, in the day that you stood on the other side.
Yes.
Now, there is a side of right and there is a side of wrong.
Mm-hmm.
God decides what's right, not
exactly.
the ethicists.
Exactly.
They don't decide what's wrong. Not the professors at Tarleton or any other university in the state of Texas or in the United States of America or even New Zealand. But the right and the wrong of an issue is decided by God. And we have, given to us everything that we ever needed to know about life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. That's what we're told there. So he tells us what's right. He tells us what's wrong. He says, in the day that you stood on the other side. That would be the side away from God.
Exactly, exactly.
He said, when you did that, you became as one of them.
There are a lot of people today who are standing on the wrong side of things.
They sure are, and we need to heed the warnings. We were talking to some people not too long ago before the radio program started. If it's not already too late to bring it back.
That's right.
You know, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, he meant it. He said, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me, he scatters abroad. He's standing on the other side.
You know, you think back about when the Nazis were killing all these people, and now all these years later, 30, 40 years later, we're looking back and just see how horrible that was to do that. I wonder what it's going to be like looking back 40 years from today.
Oh, mercy. It's just unbelievable what it could be. Now, another one of the things that we can do, when we find out what is right and what is wrong, then we can do what is right and what is wrong. We can't do that unless we know what God has said is right and what's wrong. But once we decide that, we can call our representatives. We have a government here in this United States of America, and folks, we don't get involved enough. You can get on the internet, you can type in congressman, and you can type in your zip code. It will give you all of your congressmen, it will give you the senators, it will give you their phone numbers, their toll-free phone numbers, it will give you their email address. Write these people, tell them how mad, how angry you are that this is going on under our very noses, under the guise of it's being ethical because some guy said it was ethical.
Exactly. You know, and so we've got to play our part in this regard. But, you know, also, David, we need to investigate the upcoming candidates for public office as well.
No doubt.
You know, it's easy to find out what they believe on these issues. And we need to find people who are going to be pro-life and vote for those kinds of people, not people who are going to vote for the killing of babies, or at least who are not going to stand up. You know, there are a lot of people who might be pro-life, but they don't have the guts to stand up and make a public announcement and fight against abortions in the political arena. They'd rather just kind of sit back, well, you know, yeah, I don't agree with abortion, but, you know, what can I do about it type of mentality. We don't want people like that in here either. So we're going to have to investigate very carefully the candidates who we're going to vote for, a congressman, our senators, our next coming president. Where do they stand on all these issues? And then make the proper votes and encourage people to make the proper votes as well.
Well, this is a very, very important part, and I'll tell you right now, I have not been doing my part. I have sat back and let somebody else get involved in politics. I don't want to get all caught up in the political races, but I'm telling you now, if we don't, the other side will. And here in Obadiah, he says, on the day that you stood on the other side, doing nothing is standing on the other side. Doing nothing is allowing this atrocity to take place before our very eyes. Saying nothing about what is right according to God's will is absolutely standing on the other side. And he says, you have become as one of them. Now, if that doesn't chill your bones, I don't know what will.
When good people aren't going to do anything, the bad guys win, don't they?
I guarantee you they do.
Exactly.
They certainly do.
And so one last thing that we want to mention that we need to be involved in this effort, is that we need to be involved in prayer.
Daily prayer.
You know, pray without ceasing. I mean, when we drink, we pray. When we eat, we pray. You know, we need to be praying about various issues, praying throughout the day, and spend special time in prayer about this very issue. Because this is a very critical time. Because, David, look how far we've gone since Roe versus Wade first came on.
Mm-hmm.
How far are we going to go from this day 30 years on from here?
I don't know how you can go much further unless you just reach the limit up to about 10 years old before you can kill a child.
We're just walking around saying, hey, you know, you're not smart enough, good looking enough, you're dead. You know, is that how far we're going to go?
Well, where does it all end? I don't see a whole lot of difference in that in what we've got right now.
That's what Hitler was trying to do.
And this prayer is a very, very important thing. And not only do we need to pray individually and personally, but we need to pray for God's mercy upon this once God-fearing nation, which is fastly becoming a godless nation.
That's right. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders, that the leaders who are leading us in the wrong way will start doing the right things. In some cases, like I'm praying right now, I'm praying for some new leaders, leaders who will lead us in the right way. But we need to be involved in prayer. Prayer is essential. It's the only way to go. David, we're out of time.
God bless America, and God bless our troops, and we thank you for listening.